For Parshas Breishis, we have the mitzvah, of course, of Piri Veriviya. And this is in Perek Aleph of Sefer Breishis, Pasuk Chaf Ches. And the Torah says that Vayvarech Osam Lemar Puruvu Milus Aretz V'Kivshua. Hashem blessed them. He said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. And Hashem's bracha goes ahead, continues, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. So let's focus for a moment on the mitzvah of Piri Veriviya, trying to give a basic definition and a framework for this mitzvah. Some of the questions that we want to address is, how many children does a person have to have, which we'll see as a machlokas, Beisil Beis Shammai. What exactly is the Maisa Mitzvah? Is it a Kumvase? Is it Shevi Altas? Is it active or is it passive? And what is the exact Mitzvah? If we get a chance, we'll talk a little bit about Noshim, the place, the role of the woman in the Mitzvah of Piri Veriviya. The Mishnah in Yevamos records a Machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. When does a person fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Veriviya? According to Beis Shammai, you need two zcharim. According to Beis Hillel, zachar unikeva. And Beis Hillel bases himself on the pasuk zachar unikeva bora'am. Just as God created male and female, we are obligated to emulate Hashem and create male and female. That's the mitzvah of Piri Veriviya. The Gemara asks, my time at the Beit Shammai, what's the reason for Beit Shammai who says Shnei Zchorim? And the Gemara goes on to suggest that Beit Shammai derives it from Moshe Rabbeinu. And with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk tells us in Divrei Hayomim Dafka, Perek Aleph, that Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons, Gershon and Eliezer, and we have to emulate Moshe Rabbeinu. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says, let's learn Mibriyasa Shalolam, the way God created the world, male and female. Why doesn't Beit Shammai derive, as Beis Hillel did, the mitzvah of Piri Veriviya, define it from Briyasa Olam, from the creation of the world? And the answer is that Lo Yalfinan, we don't derive something that's possible from something that's impossible. Meaning, in the case of the creation of the world, in order to propagate the world, there had to be male and female. But that has no bearing on our situation. Rashi says, in our situation, it's possible that if you have two sons, they'll be able to reproduce. There are women in the world. There's no lack of women in the world, Rashi says. You can find a wife and propagate. But in the case of creation, of course, two males would not be able to reproduce, and therefore Hashem created Zachar and Nekeva Bar Osam. We paskin, of course, like Beis Hillel, and one fulfills the mitzvah of Piri Veriviya with a boy and a girl, and we therefore take our lead now in a definition from the creation of the world. The Rambam dedicates the 15th chapter, Perek Tesvav Milchus Ishus, to define the mitzvah of Piri Veriviya. And indeed the Rambam asks, how many children does a man have to fulfill this mitzvah? And he says, a zachar and an akeva, quoting the pasuk, zachar and akeva bar'am. The Rambam adds another important point here that is relevant lahalacha. Since Piri Veriviya means to guarantee propagation, then if he has a son or a daughter who either of which are incapable, not able to procreate, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah. So in that case, if he has, let's say, a ben who's a saris or a bas who's an islandess, which are halachic categories that apply to individuals who cannot reproduce, he would have to substitute another male for his male child who's incapable, another female for his female who's incapable. So therefore, if a person's children are unable to bear children, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah. That's how the Rambam defined. So the Rambam goes on in Halacha Hey in the same perek to tell us that if a person dies and at that moment his children are no longer alive, meaning they died during his lifetime, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri Rivia unless he had grandchildren. So here's the thrust of what the Rambam says. If a man had children and they died, but they left children of their own, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri Rivia, because b'nei banim haram kibanim. Grandchildren have the status of children. In other words, from the perspective of propagation, he has propagated the world. However, the Rambam limits this. He says, if the grandchildren are male, he has two grandsons, or, for example, if his grandchildren are both female, he has two granddaughters, and they were born to his children. So in the first generation, he had male and female. But in the next generation, he has two males, meaning two grandsons or two grandchildren. So this, says the Rambam, would not be a fulfillment of Piri Rivia. What happens is, according to the Rambam, from each of his children, who again died in his lifetime, the male and the female, he's got to get a male and a female, a grandson and a granddaughter. So if he has grandchildren that are both male, grandsons, or both female, that would not be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Piri Rivia. Or for example, let's say he has a boy and a girl, they died, and one of them left a son and a daughter. So he has a grandson and a granddaughter, but only from one of his children. He has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Piri Rivia. So what he needs is grandchildren that are both male and female, born to his children, who are both male and female. Now what would be if one of his children had a boy and a girl? So he's got a grandson and a granddaughter in the next generation from one of his children. The other one of his children had only a male. So he has two grandsons and one granddaughter. Would that be enough to fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Rivia? So this becomes an issue. If we have time, perhaps we'll get to it. I don't want to get into all the nitty-gritty details of the scope of the mitzvah, but suffice it to say that the Rambam wants to see Zachar and Akeva either from the first generation, his children, or Zachar and Akeva from in the second generation from the first generation, which would mean that if you have the son and the daughter branching out in two directions, they, each one of them respectively, has to have a boy and a girl. So he's got Zachar and Akeva, Akiva and Piri Rivia from his son, he's got Zachar and Akeva from his daughter. The exception to the rule might be if he has a Zachar and Akeva, grandson and granddaughter from one of his children, and he has a grandson from the other child. And that might be a combination of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, because he does have two grandsons, and that might be enough to, so to speak, resurrect his son and daughter in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Rivia. One question that we want to ask, and the Rambam addresses this question as well, and that is that the mitzvah in our parasha is addressed to Adam HaRishon, not to the Jewish people. In other words, the mitzvah was not given post-Har Sinai in our parasha, but rather pre-Har Sinai. And very much early in history, even before the Jewish people emerge with Avraham Avinu as the father of our nation. And nevertheless, it would seem that from this parsha, we can derive the mitzvah of Piri Rivia. And that's interesting. How do we do such a thing? But be that as it may, if you take a look at the language of the Rambam, in this case, we want to open up the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs. In the Rambam is in Reish Yud Beis, Mitzvah Reish Yud Beis. The Rambam writes about the mitzvah of Piri Rivia, that the purpose of this mitzvah is to preserve the species. That's the nature of the mitzvah. So one could say that since God's intention here in the mitzvah is clearly spelled out, that he wants the land the earth to be populated, we can even derive this mitzvah from the command that was addressed to Adam HaRishon. If you take a look in the Sefer HaChinuch, at the very beginning of the Sefer HaChinuch, he writes, Mishorshei mitzvah zu, kidei she'yeh ha'olam miyushav, she'Hashem Baruch Hu chafetz biyishuvo, kilichsiv lo sohu bra lo sheves yitzara. The Chinuch quotes a pasuk in Yeshayo Anavi, in Perek Mem Hei, in order to prove that the essence and the goal of the mitzvah written here in the beginning of the Chumash of Puruvu, Vayvarcha Osam Elokim, Vayomalem Elokim Puruvu, is to populate the land. The earth should be populated. Ha'olam Yushov. That's his language. And he goes on to wax poetic about the significance of this mitzvah. Mitzvah Gedola, Shebesibasam, Eskayemes Kol HaMitzvah Shabolam, Ki Levnei Adam Nitnu, Velo L'malachei Asharis. The mitzvahs were given to human beings, so there has to be a human race in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So this is the introduction that facilitates all the mitzvahs. And the language of the Sefer HaChinuch clearly would justify why, and maybe that's exactly what he's trying to address here, why this mitzvah, even though it's addressed to Adam HaRishon, is a mitzvah for all generations. Now, as I mentioned before, the Sugya Beisil Beit Shammai is a Sugya in Yevamos, on Samach Hei, but there are Sugyas relevant to Pir V'Rivya that come up even earlier in Masechta Yevamos. For example, in Yevamos on Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, the Gemara is bothered by the following question: at what point in a young man's life is he obligated in the mitzvah of Pir V'Rivya? Normally we say Yud Gimel Shanim, he becomes Bar Mitzvah. But the Gemara establishes that this is the exception to the rule, and the mitzvah begins at the age of 18. Although Hamakdim Areza Meshubach, if he gets married earlier than that, he certainly is Mekayim the Mitzvah. Another one of the basic issues, and this appears both in the Rambam and Perek Tezvav Halacha Beis, and elsewhere in Shas, is the person who's dedicating himself to Torah study, is he, at least on a temporary basis, allowed to push off, postpone the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya? As we said before, we paskin that you need a zocher and a keva, and each of his children have to be capable of having children. There is an interesting discussion, and it's based on the Gemara in Yevamos, about the status of a tumtum. A tumtum is a safek zachar safek nekeva. So let's say he has a child, either a male or a female, plus a second child who's a tumtum. He's in a safek situation. And here we get into the whole question about safek doraisa l'chumra. Is that a Torah law? Is that a derabbanan? You know, the Rambam Shita, very famous in Hilchus Tumas Mes, it's also in Isuri Bia, is that safek doraisa min haTorah is l'kula. So therefore, it could be that in this case, and this is something that the Minchas Chinuch addresses, would he be yotzei the mitzvah, at least mitzad suffering on a deraisa level, if he had a zocher plus a tumtum? If later on the tumtum is nikra, they rip open the membrane, and imtza zocher, then the Rambam decides to paskin that in such a case, he's no longer a Saris, meaning that this child now, once he's Nikra, he can have children. And therefore, now that we find out he's male, he would certainly be considered male as far as the mitzvah Piri V'Rivya is concerned. What happens if a person has a Ben Uba or Bas plus an androgynous? An androgynous has both sets of genitals. He's got Zachrus, he's got Nakvus. And the Rambam in Hilchus Ishus in the second Perek seems to be of the opinion that this is also considered a suffix. But yet the suffix of androgynous is, in our discussion of Piri V'Rivya, totally different than that of a tumtum. Because as we said before, in the case of tumtum, he's nikra v'nimtza zocher, and the zocher is not a saris, he can fulfill the mitzvah. However, the Rambam establishes that an androgynous is eno roy laholid, and therefore for sure he would not be mekayim the mitzvah of piri verivya with an androgynous. The same kind of halach would apply to a ben, although he was healthy at birth, but later on became a petsuadak and a krushuvcha, he's not roy laholid. Or if a woman had some sort of, you know, health issue, and as a result she was no longer uya laholid, then for sure he would not have fulfilled his mitzvah of piri verivya. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, and this we'll see in Ebenezer Siman Aleph, that Hoya HaBen Katan Kiyem HaMitzvah. Even if the father died and he left a son who was a minor, he was less than bar mitzvah, he fulfilled the mitzvah. However, what happens if posthumously we find out that this child was incapable of having children? Then it would seem, and this is a question we'll address maybe a little bit later on, that Lama Freya Igloi Milsa, we see retroactively that the father did not fulfill the mitzvah. Meaning, what he left at the moment of his death had to have been a male and a female that were capable of having children. They don't have to actually have children, but at least have the capability, the capacity to have children. And this may be determined possibly way down the line, much later than the death of the father. So in his lifetime, his mitzvah of piri verivya is suspended in midair, so to speak. Now, what happens if he has a child who's a cheresh or a shote? So here the poskim assume that he is mekayim the mitzvah of piri verivya, as long as his children are ruim laholid. They don't have to be what we call a bardas. If he has a child who's a mamzer, then he was mekayim the mitzvah of piri verivya as well, even though this child was born out of wedlock. And we'll have to discuss that a little bit onto itself as a sugya. But one question I want to ask you, and I raised this question at the outset, is what kind of mitzvah are we dealing with? Are we dealing with a kumva seh? Are we dealing with a shevi alta seh? The entire structure, the framework, and the mechanics of this mitzvah is very strange. Pruruvu umilu esaretz. And if you look in the language of the Mishnah, the Mishnah speaks about the fact that a person is not to neglect the mitzvah of piri verivya unless he has children, lo yivatel mimena. And that language is very strange. You know, the Mishnah doesn't use that positive language of chayav b'piri verivya, but lo yivatel mimena. Not speaking or isolating a positive action. In other words, it sounds like, if you take the lashon of the Mishnah literally, that we're talking about avoiding an iser rather than fulfilling a mitzvah. In other words, how many children do you have to have in order to remove the iser of neglecting to have children, rather than talking about how many children do you have to have in order to fulfill the mitzvah? That would seem to be the impression you get from the Lashon HaMishnah in Yevam HaSamachay. But if you look in the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of piri verivya as a positive mitzvah. And the Rambam simply writes a person is obligated to have relations, and he says even on a regular basis, there's a mitzvah of ona, but that mitzvah of ona is also his obligation vis-a-vis piri verivya. And this chiyuv, which the Rambam formulates as having regular, having relations on a regular basis, is a continuous obligation until he has children. And the Rambam says how many children? And he goes on to say a male and a female, etc. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, you'll get the same impression. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, Chayav Adam Lasok B'Piri V'Rivya V'Kama Bonim Yilo V'Yipoter. Okay, Kama Bonim Yilo V'Yipoter, meaning I would translate that as how many children must he have until he fulfills the mitzvah. But yet, the word yipoter, I have to admit, is a strange word. Perhaps the Minchas Chinuch would have been smoother and simpler had he said, "Kama banim yilo lekayim es hamitzvah." What does he mean? Lipater min hamitzvah. I mean, the terminology, the language of the Sefer HaChinuch here, who's one of the Rishonim, of course, speaking about the removal of the obligation of the mitzvah, perhaps would indicate that there's no maisa mitzvah here. In other words, the emphasis is not on action A, B, or C, which will necessarily fulfill the mitzvah. Because whatever action you define, you don't know for sure, you can't guarantee that that will lead to the kiyum mitzvah. It's outside of man's control. Man doesn't have the ability to absolutely guarantee that he will fulfill the mitzvah through these actions. And perhaps if that be the case, this mitzvah peri v'rivya sets itself up as a different kind of mitzvah than any other mitzvah. Every other mitzvah that we have defines a certain maisa. Once you do that maisa, you took the lulav, you ate the matzah, you sat in the sukkah, you fulfilled the mitzvah, period. But here, you can do the maisa and go through all the actions and the sequence and not necessarily fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, it would seem to indicate that since the fulfillment of piri v'rivya cannot be done in an absolute way, it's not definitive, because it's possible that he would have children, possible that he won't. Even if he has children, they may die. Therefore, we could redefine the mitzvah and say that a person has to perform whatever he has to perform. He's got to do the ma'aseh bia, or the Rambam says to have relations on a regular basis, ona. And those are the necessary actions. Again, the result of the action and the kiyum mitzvah is beyond his control. And perhaps that's why Chazal used this very strange language, both in the Mishnah and in the Rishonim, certainly here in the Sefer HaChinuch, but similar Rishonim you'll find throughout the Rishonim, that instead of saying, well, do this and then you're Mekayim the mitzvah, but what they're saying is, at what point do you become potter from the mitzvah? And that reflects the special nature of this mitzvah. So what it means is, at what point are you potter min mitzvah? At what point are you potter min mitzvah? That's the language of the Sefer HaChinuch. And B'li Neder, if we have a chance, we would like to take a look at both the Minchas Chinuch and the Tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and maybe we even touch upon the Tshuva of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Chief Rabbi of Yerushalayim, with regard to artificial insemination, to see exactly how this mitzvah is different than any other mitzvahs. Now, normally you would have anticipated that the mitzvah is clinched at the moment of childbirth, when the baby is born. And that's it. You know, you can make you can so to speak bless the completion of the mitzvah at the moment that the baby is born. But as we've seen already, that's not true. That's not accurate. The mitzvah depends upon the continued life of the child and the ability of that child to procreate himself. And therefore, the Minchas Chinuch writes that this mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya is distinct from any other mitzvah. Let's learn a little bit of the Minchas Chinuch here. In Mitzvah Aleph, Piri V'Rivya, he says, and this is his language, Nira Ba'olil, it's absolutely clear, the mitzvah zu eina kishar mitzvahs lulav matzvah domem di ein lohem meshech zman rak techev shasa mitzvah yotza. All the other mitzvahs, he gives the example of shaking the lulav, eating the matzah, immediately following the ma'aseh mitzvah, you obtain the kiyum mitzvah. Kan, he says, in the case of Piri V'Rivya, eino kein, da bia lo avi gufa mitzvah, rak hechshar mitzvah, v'ikar mitzvah hi leidas habonim. The mitzvah is not one particular isolated act, in this case the marital act, but the marital act is nothing more than a preparation for the mitzvah. The mitzvah is having the children, u'b'chol rega chalal av achiyuv. And this is an ongoing mitzvah that the children should continue to exist, and the mitzvah, kima mitzvah, is constantly suspended and depend upon the continued life of the children. V'imesu lokiyem mikanu lahava. And if they died, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah. So the main part of the mitzvah is having the children, and not only having the children, but their continued life. So the obligation continues to be incumbent upon a person every moment, because if the children die, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah, v'zeh poshut, and that's obvious. And based on this understanding, he wants to faren for akasha of the Turi Evin. The Turi Evin of Rosh Hashanah says the following: Hiksha b'sefer Turi Evin lagon shagasariyah b'Rosh Hashanah chav chesam and aleph b'hodim v'vur sham kfo v'yochal matzah yotzah kfo man ilay mekfo shed v'atanya kshushot arei kshushot lo dvarim v'vur kain the alkein lo yotzi yidei chov v'achilus matzah shote. What we see clearly from the Gemara, the sugya in Rosh Hashanah chav ches, is that if a person was a shote and he was a lav bar chiyuv at the time he ate the matzah, he was potim in a mitzvah, then that which he ate at that point, at that moment, in that status, in that situation, is eino niftar. And then when he snaps out of his state of shota, he's going to have to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah a second time around. So the Turi Evin asks that hayu lo bonim b'giyusov in his gayer kiyum mitzvah. The Gemara establishes here in Masechta Yevamos, at least according to one opinion, that if he had children while he was a non-Jew, and then he was miskayri converted, is kiyem mitzvahs piri verivya. And this is sugin yevamos samach beis amid aleph. Now, geshen is gayr kikotin shenola dami. So the chiddush here is even though technically the children are not miyuchas achrov, nevertheless he fulfills the mitzvah. And it doesn't seem to be required. It doesn't seem to be a requirement that the children themselves are mizgayer. The father was mizgayer, and he's mekayim the mitzvah through the children who are non-Jewish that he begot when he was a god. Now, habigiyu so potter mi piri verivya. As long as he was a non-Jew, he was potter from the mitzvah piri verivya. We don't find that a ben noach is obligated in the mitzvah of piri verivya. That itself is a discussion, but let's grant that premise. Is hech niftar ata b'zman achiyuv li'achar shen izgayer. So the Turi Evin wants to know, how could he possibly be potter from the mitzvah now after his gerus, since at the moment that he fulfilled the mitzvah, namely when he had marital relations that led to the birth of his children, he was a non-Jew, a non-Jew is potter, he's no different than a shotu ate matzah. Says the Minchas Chinuch lo kasha midi, why? Debishle matzamar di yotza mitzvah kshachal matzah, and these yotzi dechavos at the moment of the achila, at the moment of shaking the lulav, is shapir, inot aloch b'yesha yopoto yopoto. Aval hocha, here it's not the same. The mitzvah is every single moment. It's an ongoing, continuous mitzvah. Mitzvah sheyil upon him, having the children. And therefore, through his gerus, now he becomes chayav in the mitzvah period. He can fulfill this mitzvah because he has children. And that is the answer of the Minchas Chinuch to the kasha of the Turi Evin. What we see is that piri verivya is a very unique mitzvah. It's not the weight of the mitzvah, the focus of the mitzvah is not on one particular action, but on the ongoing situation, the matzav, if you'd call it in modern Hebrew, of having children alive. And that's something that now, after his gerus, he can fulfill. And the Ramah, at the beginning of Evin Ezer, in Sif Vav, quotes a Rashba in Masechta Yevamos on Chav Beis, that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Verivya even if you have a child who's a mamzer. And this is very strange, because a man had a relationship with a woman who is married to some other man. I mean, that's certainly an erev avashis ish, and yet the child who's a mamzer is a fulfillment of the boel of the father, the biological father's kiyum mitzvah. But that seems to undermine the universal principle of mitzvah baba vera. How can you be mekayim a mitzvah through an avera? That is the obvious question that everyone raises, the objection to this Rashba Yevamos, who says that you can be Mekayim Mitzvah through a child as a mamzer. And this is codified by the Rambah at the beginning of Evan Ezra. And once again, we're going to have to answer this question by saying that Piri V'Rivya is unique. It's not like other mitzvahs. In other mitzvahs, if there's an Avera act, you eat a matzah shel tevel, for example, or you steal a lulav, and the act of stealing the lulav is an Avera. Therefore, we pinpoint that one action, which is an Avera, that makes it into a mitzvah above Avera and disqualifies the mitzvah. But here, that the Maisa B is only a Heksha mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah itself. Therefore, the transgression that took place at the time of the Maisa Bia does not undermine the mitzvah itself. Let's read a little bit of the language of the Minchas Chinuch. He says, the Zezman Kabir Hikshesi Loma Yotzi de Chova, in the case of a Mamzer, Halo Avi Mitzah Boba Vera, Uledas Harbi Rishon Mitzah Boba Vera, Ben Ator Vedi Yotze. Even though there is a sheet of Tosus in Sukkot Av Tes, the Mitzvah Bav Aver is only a Psul Rabbanon. But according to many Rishonim, and Tosus in Sukkot Av Lamed seems to assume so, Mitzvah Bav Aver is a Doraisa Halacha. Vishavti, Alpi Svaras Achronim, V'ayin Sharamelech, Hilchas Lul Perek Ches, the Mitzvah Bav Aver Lohavi Ela im Bishas HaMitzvah Osa Gamkin Avera. To be Esrog HaGozel B'Shas HaNatila Over Al V'Heshivis HaGzeil. At the moment that he takes the Dalad Minim, he violates the essay of V'Heshivis HaGzeil. That makes him into a mitzvah of Avera. But in B'Shas HaMitzvah Lek Avera Klal, for example, the Yerushalmi says that if he carries matzah B'Shayoch D'Shusarabim and then he eats the matzah, at the moment that he ate the matzah, there is no Avera. That's not called Mitzvah Bav Avera. Here too, the Mitzvah Shal Abonim Ba Al Yidei Avera Debiyas Isim. We call him a Mitzvah Saseh Hainu Abonim. The Mitzvah is not the Bia, the matter relations, the Be'ilas Raka Heksha Mitzvah, the Efshar below Zeh, it's impossible. But the Mitzvah itself, the Kiyum Mitzvah in its essence, is having the children. At that moment, he's not involved in any Mitzvah. For a raya dim lo holid. If let's say he had bia and his wife did not give birth to a child, he was not yotze the mitzvah. The bia is not a guarantee of the mitzvah. V'chein in mesu bonim lo kiyum a mitzvah. So the ikar kiyum a mitzvah is this continuous having the children. At that moment, there's no avera whatsoever. And then he goes on to say that he found his svara in various other svarim that came way before him in the Marit. And in the Radbaz, and so forth and so on. Now, getting back to the case where a man had children when he was a non-Jew, and then he converted, and he fulfills the mitzvah with his original children, and according to many Rishonim, it's not contingent on the children converting to Judaism. And it's very interesting, because as a non-Jew, when he had the children, he was not obligated in the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya. But the answer is, as we said before, that the mitzvah is not performed at the moment of an action, but rather the essence of the mitzvah is having the children, not the act of procreation. And therefore, now that he was miskari, has children, he is mekayim the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya. The Minchas Chinuch doesn't end his presentation here. He's still confused and he finds a contradiction from a sugya in Baba Basra Yud Gimel and a Tosfos there, Dira Masel Kofin. It's also in Chagiga at the beginning of the Masechet Daf Beis Amud Beis. Tosfos asks, why not apply the principle of Ese Docha Losaseh in the case of the essay of Piri V'Rivya being Docha the Losaseh of Lo Yiyah Kodesh, meaning in the case of an Eved or a Shivcha, let's say if a man were to have relations with a Shivcha, he violates a lav, but at the same moment he's being Mekayim the essay. And Tosus really does somersaults in the air in order to answer this question as to why we shouldn't allow a Jewish man to be Mekayim Piri V'Rivya with a Shivcha. And Tosus says, lo avi be'idna, meaning he starts violating the los haseh even before gemar bia, which was called ha'ara. So tchilas bia, the beginning of the act, the marital act, is already enough to precipitate a violation of the lav of kedeshus, but the essay does not come into being until the gemar bia. But it seems that clearly Tosus identifies the gemar bia as the kiyum essay, and that would contradict and undermine everything we've been saying here in the Minchas Chinuch, that the bia itself, including the gemar bia, is nothing more than a heksher mitzvah, because he cannot be molid, he cannot have children without it. And Ha'ara itself should also be a heksher mitzvah, because you can't get to gemar bia without a heksher mitzvah. I mean to say, you can't get to gemar bia without Ha'ara tchila. In any event, it's clear from Tosfos that the mitzvah period is fulfilled at the time of bia, not at the time of Ledo or the continuous having the children. And Tosfos identifies the key moment in of the Maisa mitzvah as the gemar bia. This leads the Minchas Chinuch to sort of leave everything b'tzarich iyun, and the whole debate requires further analysis. I want to mention to you that in Tshuvas Igros Moshe, at the very beginning of Ibn Ezer, Simon Beis, Rav Moshe Feinstein, relies on this Tosfos in Baba Basra and basically rejects the position of the Minchas Chinuch. Did I say that it was Simon Beis? I meant to say it was Chelik Beis, the Igros Moshe in Chelik Beis, Simon Yud Ches, and the discussion here is Efshalo Lis Aber El Bezilov Zera Habal Me'eha Kodum Shiishlu Zain Nikiyim. It's a case of a woman who can become pregnant on the eighth day following her Nida period, meaning it's a time period in which the husband and wife could not have relations, but they could achieve the mitzvah period of Arivya in a way that's artificial, meaning artificial insemination, and that's called Zlifa Zera Baal Bitna. And to be matirit after the Zayin Nikiyim. In any event, I just wanted to, again, this is a more complicated tshuva in Rav Moshe, but one thing I wanted to read to you, he writes, Lo mistaber lomar kaminchas chinuch shehamitzvah lotia al hamaisa. He says it's not logical to accept the position of the minchas chinuch that there's no maisa mitzvah here. Avala maisa shenitztava pirivya rivya eina holodas habonim. He says that to assume the mitzvah is identified with having children, as the Minchas Chinuch does, is not a logical position because it's not biyado. Ella, but rather, says the Tshuvas Igros Moshe, mitzvah v'achiv shalav hu livol ishto bia gemura she efshe mizeh laholit. But rather, we should accept the position that the mitzvah is to have bia gemura, a bia which has the capacity, the potential for procreation. V'rayelis emitos baba basra shekosu mishas ha'ara ka'akar l'lav v'yesin p'rivilo makayim ad gemar bia. So he quotes the same Tosfos of the Minchas Chinuch. He says, mevur, he says, you see from this Tosfos, to be gemar bia nechshav makayim afshadayin lo nis'abra klal kevim derak zebiyo delasos. That Tosfos clearly maintains the position that the mitzvah has to be identified with that which you can do, even though the fulfillment of the mitzvah depends upon whether she gets pregnant or not, but the mitzvah has to be identified with masha biyado lasos. And therefore the mitzvah is livol ishto, and that's the mitzvah of piri verivya. The mitzvah continues until he has children. He hasn't yet removed his obligation. And this position is very similar to the position, well, I shouldn't say similar to, but it would seem to adopt the position of Tosfos that the mitzvah is having marital relations. It cannot be like the Minchas Chinuch, that the mitzvah is not an action, but having or bearing children, because that's beyond one's control. You can't have a mitzvah that's beyond your control. That's the premise here of Rav Moshe, and he based himself on Tosis in Yevamos. And as we said before, that the wording of the Mishnah is that he only becomes potter from the mitzvah when he has children. So the mitzvah is not the having the children, but that having the children is when he is alleviated from his responsibility. So the mitzvah involves simply the ma'isa bia gemura, and that is certainly biyado. He's fully in control of that. The event, obviously, of childbirth is not the mitzvah, but rather din in the patur. Once he has children, then he becomes potter in the mitzvah of period of arivia. As long as he doesn't have children, the chiyuv continues. And if this be the case, then perhaps one could go even a step further than Rav Moshe Feinstein and say that the ma'isa mitzvah is not the bia, but the ma'isa mitzvah is anything that could lead to the p'tur of the mitzvah, meaning to having children. And that expanded definition could include grama as well. So for example, the case of artificial insemination, one could argue, and this seems to be the logic of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in his tshuvas on the issue of artificial insemination, that artificial insemination is a substitute for the ma'isa bia. He's doing to the extent that he can, masha biyado, he's doing the maximum that he can to set it up in such a way that she will have children. Again, I don't know if Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is willing to say that the ma'isa bia is the only mitzvah, the only ma'isa mitzvah. The ma'isa mitzvah is not exhausted by bia, it's exhausted by anything that is ma'afsher, that makes it possible to obtain the kiyum, the ultimate kiyum of mitzvah, meaning the p'tur of the mitzvah, namely to have children. And let me read to you the language of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, "Meduyak loshet ha'mishnah b'yevamos daf samach aleph shelo omer kama banim mechuyav adam laholid." It doesn't say how many children does a person have to give birth to. Ella omer lo yevatel adam p'rivirelim ken yesh lo banim de pirusho de mitzvahs p'rivirelim she'olav hu ha'be'ila shirak zehu biyado v'ein lo levatel mizeh ad she'yeh lo banim. So in other words, having children is going to alleviate him from the chiyuv of bi'ila, but until he has children, he's chayiv in bi'ila. And that is the mitzvah period of arivya. Memela, kshiyesh lo bonim kvar, af mi bi'ilos shebal ksheloaya mechuyuv. And again, the case of hoyelo bonim b'giyuso. So there, was similar to a case of a shota, he says, even though he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah, In the classical sense of having a ma'isa bia, nevertheless, he doesn't have a chiyuv. There's nothing incumbent upon him to continue to have bia because he has children. So the case of hayel obanim b'giyusov in his gayer is not a case where he was mekayim the mitzvah in the kumvase sense, the sheve altas of having children, because after his gayrus he has children, then he doesn't have the chiyuv of period for rivia. That's all we're saying. And according to the tshuva of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Frank, if he, through artificial insemination, he has children, he's no longer chayev in the mitzvah of period of rivia. In the case of a person who had children through an abati, you know, his sperm was in a bath and a woman was impregnated by his sperm, that would be similar to the case of Hayel Abonim B'Giyuso, or when he had relations with his wife when he was a shota. In other words, what you're lacking is the kumva say of the ma'isa mitzvah, but nevertheless, if he has children, that's enough to alleviate himself from the mitzvah. In the case of artificial insemination, we might go a step further and say that that is a substitute and equivalent to the ma'isa bia. That's his kumva say in order to set up having children. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, "Umitzvah zu eina muteles al hanoshim, And the Gemara establishes in Yevamos Daf Samachay, the Rambam codifies it in the second Halacha in Perek Tesvav Milchus Ishus Isha Eidem Mitzuvah Piri Verivya. And the issue that we want to raise is, does a woman have some shaychus to the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, even though she's Ptura? And that would mean that, for example, if you hold, according to Shita Satos and Chagi, that an Eved is Chayv in Piri Verivya, how could it be, because an Eved has all the mitzvahs of an Isha, and an Isha is exempt from the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, so how could an Eved possibly be Chayav? The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Dalet establishes that Kol mitzvah she'isha chayeves ha'eved chayev, Kol she'ena isha chayeves af eved potur, lo la mi'isha. And the Mishnah Melech in Perek Yud Milchus Melachim establishes a very famous principle that lo la, to exempt an eved from all mitzvahs that a woman is exempt from, only applies to mitzvah seishas man grama. In that context, an eved is ki'isha. And we accept the analogy of la la. In the case of a mitzvah seisha einas man grama, where the eved and the isha both should be obligated, but rather a woman is excluded from the mitzvah because of a separate miut, not because it's man grama. For example, here in the case of Piri Verivya, where the Torah says v'kivshua, which is darko shalish lichbosh, therefore a woman is exempt, so that miut applies to women and not to men. And that seems to be not only the approach of the Mishnah Melech, but a number of different achronim. Some achronim, on the other hand, reject this. For example, the Turi Evin says, "E lav gzereshava de lo lo ya eved potu bi mitzvus de lo balach lal yisrael gzereshava he lechayev ha'eved and kevim mitzvus she'ena noshim mechuyavos beim gzeres hakosuv beim isvara." Is minon l'chayev avodin. The Turi Evin's approach is that dial of omen adin, meaning let's go back to square one. An eved doesn't have kedushas Yisrael. The equation between an eved and an isha is going to impose upon him all the mitzvahs that are incumbent upon him. Those mitzvahs that a woman is not obligated in, for example, period for Rivya, an eved shouldn't be obligated in because his status is that of innocent until proven guilty, or potter until proven chayev. So, according to the Turi Evin, we're really going to have trouble understanding the Shita Satosis that an Evid is chayev piri verivya. What would be the source for that chiyuv? Now, with regard to an Isha, you could raise the question of Sheves. Because there is more than one mitzvah in Piri Verivya. There is a mitzvah of Piri Verivya which is incumbent upon a man. A man who has children should marry a woman who can have children if all things are equal. Again, there are many exceptions to this rule, and that's derived from a pasuk in Koheles, but La Erev Al Tanach Yodecha, which the Shulchan Aruch here codifies in Eben Ezer, Siman Aleph Sif Ches. And then, in addition, we have a mitzvah lo saho lo so bra lo sheves yitzara pasuk yishayo mem hey, and that means that there's a more general, universal kind of mitzvah to populate the world, which might even apply to a non-Jew, even though he's exempt from piri verivya as a technical mitzvah, and he certainly doesn't have the chiv derabbanan of ba'er la'erav tach yadecha, but he may have a kiyum of lo sheves yitzara to propagate and populate the world. Of course, we won't sell a Sefer Torah for the sake of Lo Soho Bro, but it nevertheless is a Kiyuma Mitzvah, and maybe women are included in the Mitzvah of Lo Soho Bro, Lo Sheves Yitzara, and Tosis and Gittin on Daf Mem Aleph, which is brought down here in the Beis Shmuel at the beginning of Sifkat and Beis, discusses this possibility. Could it possibly be that women, although they're not obligated in Piri Verivya, they would still have the mitzvah of Sheves? And this is a long discussion. And in the Yerushalmi and Yevamos, in the sixth parak, there is an opinion that women are included in the mitzvah of Piri Verivya because Chava was included in the Pruravu mandate that was given at the beginning of the Torah, but in all the poskim, women are exempt from the mitzvah. And one could ask the question, how could it be that women who play such a central role, I mean, they are the center of having children, childbearing, and yet the brunt of the mitzvah is incumbent upon the man and not the women. Very strange. But again, the Gemara in Yevamos on Samach Amud Beis understands that when it says Pru Revu, this doesn't apply to women because of the Kivshua. Women are not included in the mitzvah of Kivshua. It's Darko Shalish Lichbosh, Vein Darko Shalisha Lichbosh. A woman's nature is not to go out to battle and conquer. And perhaps on a deeper level, we can explain a woman's exemption of the mitzvah if we understand that the act of procreation itself, and now we're reflecting the approach of Moshe Feinstein, the act of having marital relations, the ma'aseh is incumbent upon the man, he's the active role. But if we see the mitzvah as the Minchas Chinuch sees it in terms of childbirth, it's really difficult to understand why a woman would be exempt. It seems like she's playing the major role. And we have the famous comment of the Meshech Chachma here in Parshas Bereishis, that he says that since having children for a woman means placing her life in danger, because childbirth, pregnancy and childbirth has an element of danger involved in it, therefore the Torah didn't obligate a woman to put her life in danger. No, the ways of the Torah are ways of peace. And we could also mention the Kivshua, the mitzvah milchama, which requires a person to put his life into danger, is incumbent upon a man and not upon a woman. So therefore we don't have any source in the Torah for a mitzvah in concept. The only precedent that we have for a mitzvah that obligates a person to put his life into danger, which is the mitzvah milchama, doesn't apply to women. Women are exempt from the chiyuv milchama in the technical sense, therefore they're exempt from the mitzvah piri v'rivia. The other approach is to say that the mitzvah piri v'rivia requires the ma'isibia, and this is something that you'll see in the Bar Tanura in Yevamos in the sixth parak, where he says that a man, the kivshua, by his very nature, initiates or dominates the marital relations, and therefore women could not be obligated in that kind of mitzvah of a ma'isibia. The Tartmim, on the other hand, here at the beginning of Bereishis, would argue that the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivia is part of L'Shevis Yitzara, part of the Kivshua, and that male is charged with this mitzvah of, let's read the language of the Tartmima. He says, Kavanas Hadrasha, the Inyan Lashon Zeh HaKosuv U'Milo HaSa'aretz V'Kivshua, the Achrei D'V'Kivshua K'siv, Mashmed Rak Olav Hoya Hatzivui Shal Kibush HaAretz, V'lo Ala Yisho M'Mela P'turihi Me'ashtablus LaHarbos Anoshin, V'tiyeifo HaMitzvah V'Kivshua HaTachlus LaTzivui HaKodem Lo Piri V'Rivya. So basically what he's saying is that the Kivshua is the explanation and the purpose of the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya. He says that according to the Bar Tanura, Lo nisbar ech nisbacha drasha zu al zeh haposuk. Since the Kivshua has to do with controlling the earth and subduing it, this broader mitzvah of conquering the earth, it doesn't make sense that should reflect back on Piri V'Rivya, according to the Bar Tanur, who says that a man has to subdue a woman, and that's his nature in marital relations. That's not indicated by the pasuk V'Kivshua. V'Kivshua is a reference to the Aretz, U'Milu'as Aretz V'Kivshuha, referring to the Aretz, not Kivshuha, the woman. And therefore, the Minchas Chinuch finds it very difficult, the Tartmi, excuse me, finds it very difficult to accept the p'tur of a woman for period based on the logic of the Bar Tanur. It just doesn't fit into the drasha of Chazal. He says, Yispar lefi pirusham ze mashitarchu rabim lechavein tama davar shemishuna mitzvahs pirivim yishar mitzvahs shechiyuvam yuschal mi ben yud gimel shana mitzvahs pirivim mi ben shmonas ve ben esrim. The Rambam Perek Tezvah Milchus Ishus Halacha Beis ulefi atama mavur bazeh dechiv pirivir toli b'misha darko lichvosh milchama davar yaduhu dechiv latzeis litzavu mi ben esrim shana lamala. He says, how could one understand that the mitzvah pirivir is so unique that the mitzvah is pushed off until a later age and it doesn't emerge at the age of bar mitzvah? The answer is because the goal of this mitzvah is v'kivshua, is the mitzvah milchama, and the mitzvah milchama is not incumbent upon a 13-year-old lad, but rather on a 20-year-old young man from the age of 20 and up. V'yesh poskim shekasu di'af she'eino ishim mechuyeves mitzvahs v'cholima chayeves mitzvahs lo so bra l'sheves yitzari mitzvah d'rabbanon v'ze yotza lehem mishum d'chashvu mitzvahs piri v'riv mitzvahs l'sheves yitzari l'shtei mitzvahs aval lo yadati mehechi teisi lomar ken kivadei poshet adover de l'sheves yitzari rak biur v'tam l'mitzvahs piri v'riv kein b'potur b'ikra mitzvah is potur gam Mila Sheves. So the Minchas Chinuch is of the opinion that the larger purpose of Piri V'Rivi is to conquer and settle the earth, and this is something incumbent upon the men. Procreation is to be seen as part of this more general, all-encompassing mitzvah of raising the world, conquering the world, settling the world. That's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the male. We can say that it's not within the female nature, and therefore there is an exemption from women with regard to childbirth. If that be the case, says the Minchas Chinuch, he doesn't understand how anyone could include women in the mitzvah of L'Sheves Yitzorah. L'Sheves Yitzorah is simply another explanation or goal of the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivia. Since a woman is exempt from Piri V'Rivia, she's likewise exempt from the mitzvah of Sheves. Now, there is an afkamina here. I wouldn't say halacha l'maisa. According to Rav Meir Simcha in the Meshech Chachma, that a woman cannot be obligated to place her life into danger, then if there would be a situation where there would be no physical danger and no risk involved in childbirth, then women might, according to Rav Meir Simcha, theoretically be obligated in the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivia. Or shall we say that since the nature of the mitzvah is such that in general it entails a risk element, therefore women are exempt from the mitzvah, we don't look at any specific situation. Now, at the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, mitzvah ba yosem v'shlucha, the Ran addresses the question, how could a woman be obligated to get married if she doesn't have the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivia? How could the Mishnah therefore say that she should personally receive the Kiddushin rather than send the Shliach? Mitzvah Ba, where's her mitzvah? And the Ran explains that although a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivia, she nevertheless participates in the Kiyum mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah, because without her, of course, a man would not be able to fulfill his mitzvah, and therefore she too is considered as being involved in a mitzvah act in marriage and having children, and therefore mitzvah bar yosem and v'shlucho would apply. We're not touching on a number of different issues that would take us beyond that. This was just meant to be an overview and an introduction. And there's so many issues that come up, especially today with regard to surrogate motherhood, issues about postponing marriage, either with a couple that just got married and they want to establish a stronger relationship and they want to push off having children and using various methods, birth control shots and pills and so forth. Of course, there's questions of artificial insemination, fertility treatments, issues of yuchsin, about who is the father and how to determine fatherhood. All those issues belong to the broader question of Evan Ezer, Siman Aleph, of Piri V'Rivia, which are outside the purview of our discussion for today.